Open up to Hebrews 11 and Jude, the first chapter of Jude. Nobody got that, I guess. Or maybe it's just too old now. Just always do that to see if you're paying attention, you know. If I can ever find Hebrews 11:1, I'll start. Hang on a minute here. Let's see. I did have it yesterday in here. Now, verse 6. This is where I cut my spiritual teeth in the early days. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." Going down to verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God," to please Him. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is," and that's just another way of saying that God is the great I Am. That's what you got to believe. God is I Am. He is everything He says He is. You got to believe that. "And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, I didn't get the context for years until I really assimilated the book of Hebrews by reading it 30 times and praying much in the Holy Ghost. But these Hebrews were going through a terrible time of trial, see. When they got saved, they didn't go into bigger cars and VCRs. They went into all kinds of, I started to say hell, but you can't say that in church. But they did. Their lives became a living hell. Their parents, as soon as they found out, their parents would put all the pressure they could to get them to recant from this Jesus and go back to the law. The universities would not, you couldn't even enroll if they found out you were a Christian, you know, in a Jewish school there. And your prospects for, maybe you were before that going to be a lawyer or someone of high repute, and that's not going to happen now that you become a Christian. You're the offscouring, you know. So their lives, and we could back up, let's see, if you back up in here, and he's not letting me do it right now because he's got something to say, you'll find out that the spoiling of their goods was taking place. Well, what's that? Well, part of that, the parents would disinherit. He said, if you don't give up Jesus and go back to the law of Moses, I'm going to disinherit you. What you were going to receive as one of my children, I'm going to divide that between your brethren, and you'll just be on your own. I mean, it was bad. You come to Jesus, and instead of all the, you know, like the modern prosperity gospel, instead of that, all hell is breaking loose. And in that context, he says, now I want you to have some faith. See, faith, what he's, when, yes, sir. Verse 2, Hebrews 11:2. He starts to explain for them, you got to have faith right in the midst of your trouble. See? And that doesn't mean always that your trouble is going to go away quickly. Not the persecution kind. See, in America, that's the reason this chapter is so blind to us. Up until this point, we've had very little persecution for righteousness' sake in America. But now we're coming in because of the way America is going with the politics so far. Now, I believe in for a judge to rise up. And I don't mean a federal, I mean a righteous judge to rise up like we had in the Old Testament. You know, we need a Gideon or a Samson or Samuel, somebody rise up, you know, and stop the way it's going. But the way it's going right now, if you stand up for righteousness' sake, even now and progressively worse, you're going to find out what some persecution is. This passage has been blind to us in part because we've never suffered that. Not really. Maybe a little bit. But nothing like what these guys were going through. I listened to another message by Pastor Bronk where he read a letter that was written from one of the governors of Rome. I think, what was it? I can't think of the guy's name right off. I had no idea I was going to do this. I'd been better prepared. Yes. This was actually Pliny the Lesser that wrote a letter to the ruler at that time. And he was just giving an account of, he says, I hope I'm doing the right thing with these Christians. But what he was doing, he was bringing them in. See, we've never suffered anything like what I'm about to tell you. This is during this time frame of Hebrews. He was bringing them in and questioning them. And he says, many of them, when I threaten them with the sword, they will recant Jesus. They'll turn away. And we'll watch them for a while, and as long as they stay away from going back to that Christian sect, we let them live. But we found that others who have been Christians for a while, and he said 25 years, so we're talking about the first 100 years after the resurrection, okay? He says if they've been Christians for like 25 years, no matter what we threaten them with, we find that we can't get them to recant. And so we kill them. And that makes some of the others recant. See, we don't know anything about that in America. We you know, around the world, they do know about that. Christians in Egypt right now, they're burning their homes, they're burning their churches and schools, and they're killing them. That's not just Egypt. Many places around the world. I'm still a proponent of the voice of the martyrs. It helps you get down off your American high horse and understand a little bit about what our brethren are suffering around the world. But the point that what Hebrews is really talking about is in the middle of that, do not, no matter what kind of pressure, no matter what they threaten you with, you've got to have faith that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, you may or may not see it to that group. You may or may not see that reward in this lifetime. See, how do you know there's a heaven? I'm just asking you. How does anybody in this room know there is a heaven? Have you been there? I'm not talking about a vision. Paul went there, apparently. He says, whether in the body or not, I don't know. But I've never been there. How do I know? How do I have faith that there is a heaven? Well, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. How do I know there's a hell? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do I know that I'm saved? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's so much of, you have more faith than you even realize. And the reason I say that is because you're believing the Bible. Now, your faith can grow. Yes, sir. Faith, yes, sir. I was talking with somebody this week, and they love God. They've loved God forever. They just really love the Lord. They're saved. Never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I was talking with this person about being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues and a little bit about what it's for. And that person just said to me, just very matter-of-factly and not belligerently, but just said, well, I have just never been blessed with that experience. And this came out of my mouth. And I said, well, the reason that you've not been blessed with it is you've not been taught about it. You're ignorant of it or you'd have it. Because it's God's will. She said, oh, no, it's not. Started giving me those standard scriptures, do all speak with tongues? And I said, well, everybody, I said, do you have any idea that the New Testament talks about four different kinds of tongues? And this person went, what? See, that's what it means. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, by the way, I know I don't want to leave anybody hanging by internet. What that's really talking about in 1 Corinthians 12, it's obviously the answer is no, do all speak with tongues. But see, the next sentence is do all interpret. He is talking about a specific kind of tongue. It is one of the four diversities. That one is a gift that not everybody has, where it's something where in a church service, God would give you a tongue, like God might give Mark a tongue. He would stand up and deliver it in order, not interrupt the speaker, but at the right time, he would give that tongue. And normally, somebody else would give the interpretation. You know, that's the way it started off. One has a tongue, another has an interpreter. And he says, just to stand up and everybody... The problem in 1 Corinthians 14 is everybody, they were still like children. They were born again, but they were like little kids trying to outdo each other. You think you got a tongue? Well, I got more tongue than you got. And they were just tonguing all over the place and hardly anybody interpreting. And really, that's what was going on. It was confusion. And that's why he says, now look, let one speak and then another, and so forth. He was just laying out decently and in order, It's like little children with new toys. We got these gifts. What do we do with them? Well, anyway. But that's what Paul is talking about there. It does not at all mean that not everybody is supposed to speak with tongues. There is the diversity, as Dave calls them, or the kind of tongue that we're primarily talking about in this church, is the one for your edification. That's the one for your edification. And I'm just telling you plain, it is God's, if God had his perfect will, everybody would get saved and everybody would speak with new tongues. That's just, I can't say it any plainer than that. And, yes, sir. But now faith comes by hearing. But see, faith alone, yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, that same person, how would that person get more faith? They need to be taught. Faith, you cannot believe beyond your actual knowledge of God's Word. I grew up in a God-loving denomination. I mean, you can get saved there. Boy, they preach the cross accurately, but they don't know hardly anything about the Lord's will to heal. And how you can know that is that every time they do pray for someone, they know the Lord can heal. They'll pray, oh, Brother Smith is sick, Lord, and we're just lifting him up to you, and we ask that you heal him if it be thy will. Well, what's the problem there? You could say lack of faith. Let's say it another way right now. Lack of knowledge. See, until you've gone through the Gospels enough, and I'm talking Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He had me go through there even before I ever heard of assimilation on those four books. I went through them again and again and again because it had dawned on me what he said to Philip. Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So I wanted to see Jesus, not like in a vision where he appeared to me, but see him as he is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is the will of the Father with legs. If you want to see the Father's will, not just hear. I mean, all the prophets, they came and they told what the Father's will is. They would bring the word of God to the people. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee. I will bless thy bread, bless thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. On and on. The prophets would tell about God, but Jesus came to show us God. He says, you want to see the Father's will? Come to my service. And boy, they did. You know, I went through that. Here, this is free. The rain. I can still read it. Diluted my. Here's five of Jesus' services. I'm not going to preach them again today. I've done this more than once. But for those of you on the internet, if you want to see Jesus, these are just five different services of Jesus' that he ran. There's no interference here. So it's the way Jesus ran it would be the way the Father would run it. Is that okay to say that? There's nothing that happens here that's not the Father's will. Look at these five meetings that Jesus had. And it's Matthew. They're all in the book of Matthew. These are not duplicates. These are not duplicate recordings of the same service. These are five. You know, the Bible says by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, here's five. You want to see Jesus? Look at these five over and over again until something happens on the inside of you. You'll find out what the Father's will is. One of them is Matthew 4:24. Another one is Matthew 12:15. The third one is Matthew 15:30. Oh my goodness. Matthew 19:2. I hope that is. The rain smudged my writing a little bit. And then Matthew 21:14. Matthew 21:14. In those five meetings, here's what you'll find. He healed them all. And I mean multitudes. One of those says, and one of them it says, a great multitude. That's a lot. That's not 100 people there, Pete. That's a lot. Another one says, and great multitudes, plural. That's a lot. Or as that store says, that's a big lots right there. That's a lot of lots right there. Okay. That's a bunch. And he healed them all. And that's the one where they talk about the blind saw, the lame walked, the deaf heard. And it says the maimed were made whole. And the people saw it. Now you wait till our services get to the place. And when I say our services, his services, you know what? When the services come to the place and we have NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, and the Fox News Network, why are they there? Because it's a normal church service for missing limbs to grow out while the world watches. If I did not believe that that will come to pass in my lifetime, I would probably not be at this church. That's what keeps me here. Because I see that's the will of the Father. Gary, how do you mean you see that? I have seen him. I've seen him stand up off of these pages. He stood up in my heart, if you'll allow me. And I've seen the will of the Father by seeing Jesus. Our Father is gooder than we even know. Now that's bad grammar, but you get it that way. He's gooder. You think you know him? I think I know him sometimes, and then I find out I hardly. He is so much better, so much bigger, so much lovelier, so much everything that it makes me want to go in deeper. and know him more. See? But faith really, in the generation we live in, you know, most Americans have like 7, 8, 9 Bibles in the house, all different translations. Nowadays, on my phone, I've got it with me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. On my phone, I've got like 6 translations here, and Strong's Concordance and Matthew Henry's commentary. On my phone, probably a lot. Have me hold up your phone if y'all have stuff like that on your Bibles all over the building, not yet young and old. Okay, and hold up your iPads too. Okay, those that have iPads, hold them up. All right, let's show off a little bit. Okay, here we go. Okay, all right. If you say, well, I'm just ignorant of God's Word, shamey. In America? In America? You know, what are you doing? You have access to it. Now, yes, sir? Faith comes by learning what God's Word says. It's not just faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But see, if you combine that with the parable that Jesus taught, he says, when you hear the Word and you don't understand it, then Satan can come immediately. See, you can hear it and not understand it. Did you know God gave us the great understander-er? Did you know the Holy Spirit is to minister that truth to your understanding in a way that you personally can get it? He knows you. He knows all your experiences. He knows your education. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he will get it across to you. He is a better teacher than you are a bad student. See, and that's... Now, you got it. Hebrew faith comes by. We've got to have faith in what God says. One way you can do that is feed the Word of God into you. Jesus says, my words are spirit. They're more than just printed words on a page. They are spirit. They are life. And that's not just talking about the red words. Jesus is the Word. You got that? He is the Word made flesh. All right, now go to Jude. Because I think the first message I ever heard Dave preach was out of Jude. Talking about how, see, up to this point I've been talking about faith, how faith comes. Well, I want to keep saying it different ways. Faith comes by hearing and understanding what the Word says. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God and understanding. Paul said it this way. You know what made Paul so dangerous that the devil had to assign his number one henchman devil, demon, against Paul? Because of the abundance of my revelations. That's just another word for understanding. Because of the abundance of my understanding of the mysteries of God, he became the most dangerous person on planet Earth as far as the devil was concerned. You can read about what all the devil threw at him there. Shipwrecks, stonings, beatings, in peril of robbers, in peril of false brethren, in perils of this and perils of that. And we think, you know, we're persecuted because we're a little late on our Sears bill or something, you know. And you probably, that's probably your fault. That's not, anyway, can't go there. A lot of stuff we're saying we're being persecuted by the devil. No, we're being persecuted by our own flesh. Spending too much. I didn't preach that, did I? I didn't say that, did I, out loud? Oh, God. Start the car, baby. Yeah, we're persecuted. Yeah, I mean persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now you're being persecuted for your yielding to the flesh. Most of Americans. But we're coming into a time where we're seriously, if you're not going to bend, then the persecution is going to come. But see, the Word of God is never intended to be mental food, even though you input it primarily through the mind, either by reading or by hearing it preached. It primarily enters that way, but it's not mental food. If we had time, we could go to 1 Corinthians 2, which I'm not going to right now. But he says, we speak words not in the wisdom that man's wisdom teaches, but in the wisdom which the Holy Ghost teaches. And he plainly tells you, he says, the true things of God, the things that are our inheritance, They are spiritually discerned. So you input the Word of God, but the reason we have 97 different flavors of Christianity, just drive down any place in Tulsa, you know, here's this denomination, that denomination, that denomination, that denomination, that all of that is a product of man with his intellect trying to understand spirit food. But the Holy Spirit won't teach the Word of God 19 different or 119 different flavors. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the one who brings the understanding of God's Word to you. Dave, thank you, Lord, for sending us Dave, who says, just get the Word of God inside of you. Equip yourself for day and night meditation. Read it over and over, not necessarily trying to understand every verse. Or he says, it's okay to go look up a word if you don't know what that word is, you know. But he says, don't get hung up there. Just get it on the inside of you and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Why? We'll get to 1 Corinthians 14 in a minute. Because it's the Holy Ghost who, his job is to take that word, not teach it to your brain, but teach it to your spirit. It's really your spirit once it understands the mystery. It's kind of like it's the one that, you know, when Dave draws that analogy, he says, you're sitting in the classroom of God. And you're being taught these mysteries. The finely dressed gentleman at the blackboard, that's the Holy Ghost. That's very true while you're praying in other tongues. But who's being educated there? He plainly says, while I speak in an unknown tongue, my understanding is unfruitful while that's going on. It's not your mind being educated then. Who is it being educated? It's your spirit. It's your spirit man being educated, understanding of the mysteries of God. And I've found once my spirit gets it, it's like it turns around, opens the curtain of the Holy of Holies. My soul is sitting on the outside there and it goes, hey, check this out. And either by a vision or by voice or somehow, then your mind gets it. Your mind doesn't stay unfruitful. Your mind will get it. And if everybody, every Christian did that on planet Earth, you're going to see those denominations collapse, come into one. It's only the mind, the mental understanding that's causing that, not the Spirit of God, no matter how many people preach otherwise. Now, Jude, if you haven't found Jude yet, it's on page 1670. The verse I'm after anyway, which is verse 20. See, and we could go into the verses that lead up to it and take up the whole hour on that, but trouble was coming in the church. People were coming in that were changing the grace of God into lasciviousness, plain English. They were saying the grace of God means you can live any way you want to and still make heaven. That's not true, never has been true, it's not true today. Now you come to God just as you are, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's how you come. But see, the upstanding citizen is just as lost as the prostitute and the drug addict. They need Jesus. You come just as you are, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's, yes, we all come that way. And when you come, you'll find mercy first. Mercy. What did Adam and Eve find? Mercy. When that innocent animal had to be slain and God clothed them with those skins, the blood had to be pointing to the day that the Lamb of God, that he would die on the cross. You talk about mercy. You come just as you are. I don't care how bad your life has been. You'll find that mercy, but the second thing you find, and this part just still amazes me, he'll not only forgive you, he'll adopt you. He'll rebirth you. It's more than an adoption. It is a rebirthing. He says, I'm going to remake you. I'm going to, and that's not a good word, I'm going to birth you again as my son. And I'm going to create a spirit on the inside of you, just like the first man, Adam. You're going to have a spirit made in the image of God. Glory to God. Not just forgive us and leave us like we were. Dear God, I don't want to stay like I were. I got news for your head. I don't want to stay like I am. I mean, thank God I'm not like I were. But even Paul says, Paul, you know, we all, thank God, you know, we're all plagiarizing Paul. Glory to God. But even Paul says, I don't count myself to have attained. He says, I'm still pressing towards that mark. Well, me too, but Gary, how can I press? Can you give me something practical? Have you found Jude 20? And I just got it direct from Dave. You know that. Anyway, trouble was coming in the church. People were coming in preaching a lascivious grace. You know, you can just live any way you want to and it's okay. Like God's grace covers that. No, he'll accept you that way, but he doesn't leave you that way. So anyway, the counsel of Jude at the end of it. He's talking to the prayer center here. You could just put, but you, prayer center. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now for years, and it's not totally wrong to say this, but for years I didn't quite get this right. For years I thought that this was saying that when I'm praying in other tongues, that I'm building up my faith. That's not totally wrong. You are, and I'll get to that in a minute, why. But that's really not what it says. It says, beloved, building up yourself. Who is the real you? That's that spirit, man. It's that you. God is a spirit, and if you're his child, you are a spirit. The real you is your spirit person, that part of you that got born of God. And he says, when you're speaking in this unknown tongue, I got to finish the verse. You, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do I do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now that is talking about praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. This goes right back to first. Go ahead and we may come back here. Keep that. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. And I know everybody in here knows this. You're going to know it better. Or know it freshly. How about that? See, why does it build you up? This is the same question that Dave asked in the early days, 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Well, how does it edify me? He says, I didn't know. I thought maybe it was like a battery charger. You got a dead battery. How many of you ever felt like a dead battery? I felt like a dead battery before. Well, I needed charging. What do you do with a dead battery? Well, you take the cables and you put one on the positive, one on the negative, turn the switch on the charger. Pretty soon, the battery is charged back up, or you could say the battery is edified. So he thought, well, I thought maybe it was just my emotions or something. And then when I spent time praying in other tongues, I was receiving this heavenly charge. Well, that's okay, but that's not really what's happening. What is happening? Why does it edify you? Why does he say when you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith? See, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But praying in other tongues builds you up on what you've read, on what you've heard, because the understanding of God's Word comes to you and it makes you grow up into the image of Christ. You start finding out who you are, what you have, what you've been anointed to do. It's those mysteries. So back up here a little bit. 1 Corinthians 14. Yes, sir. Okay. And yes, sir. I'm getting too excited. I got to teach and not preach. 1 Corinthians 12 is all about the gifts of the Spirit. Did you know people in the Old Testament could operate by the gifts of the Spirit? All of them except tongues. That's the only one they didn't have. But you can find every, or the interpretation of tongues, those two gifts. You don't find that in the Old Testament. You can find prophecy, prophesying about it. But everything else, working of miracles, gifts of healing, prophecy, word of knowledge, all of those things you can find in the Old Testament. See? But yet, so God poured out his gifts, and now there's two new ones, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And they're operating that way, but they're still children. These First Corinthians, they were very much, they were like trying to outdo each other. You think you can prophesy, I can prophesy better than you. You think you can tongue, I can tongue better than you. A lot of pride, a lot of jealousy. No, thank God there's nothing like that in churches today. But, you know, how come you promoted that guy? I've been here 10 years longer than him. I should be the one. Well, whatever. Okay. But all of those things could be done except except those two in the Old Testament. That's why Paul says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. A more excellent way to do what? A more excellent way to minister to the people. And it's not that the gifts are going to cease, but what if you could minister the gifts through love? Then he goes into the love chapter. And I thought Alan, the last time he taught on this, just did a superb job. And I had to go check it out. I didn't know this for sure until I heard him teach that. Verse 12 of 13. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:12. He was talking about maturity. See, and I've never, for somehow I made it all these years and never knew this. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly. I've always seen that as a window. Because of the rest of the, you know, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. I thought, like, it's hard to know what's coming. It's hard to prophesy about the future. We know in part and we see in part. So when he says, I see through a glass darkly, I always thought it was talking about a window. And Alan said, no, that word there is mirror. So I went and looked it up. You know what it is? Mirror. It is. And I said, oh my God, that changes the meaning of the entire chapter. This is not talking about heaven. This is talking about maturing into love. And it's really another way of Paul saying, like he did in the next letter, 2 Corinthians 3:18, verse that Mark quoted this morning, as we behold the glory of the Lord, there it uses the word glass, I knew that was mirror, as in a glass, as in a mirror. You're looking in a mirror. What do mirrors normally do? Reflect me, right? Reflect you. You look in a mirror, you expect to see you. But God says, look in that mirror, and who you see is Jesus. And everything about us, we lose faith. Right there, go, that's not me. Because you're looking in there, you see Jesus. And religion and your head will tell you, that's not me. But the Word of God says that is you. The real you, the spirit you. But Paul says, as long as we're babies in love, that's what God is. We look in that mirror and we just see in a very, very dim image. I'm looking. It's not reflecting you. It's really reflecting Jesus. But because we're so immature in love, see? Not knowledge, by the way. I know a lot of people that have lots of knowledge. They walk in very little love. It's maturing into love that causes the image of Christ to clear up. Ooh, that was good right there. I like that one. Maturing into love. Now, knowledge is a part of that, but it's really the Holy Spirit that causes that building up yourself, the real you, the Christ in you, you. So his life, you become so one with him that literally his life is manifested through you. It's not what would Jesus do. It's what will Jesus do. Can you see the difference in those two statements? What would Jesus do? That's okay, that's good if you want to imitate him. I like it better if every day I get up, I wonder what Jesus would do. I'll try and do that. And I wake up and really my heart is, I wonder what he's going to do today through this vessel. What will Jesus do today? Boy, when we get there, when we arrive there, no wonder he says, right now we're looking into this mirror darkly. I can barely see Christ when I look in there. But as I mature in this love, I'm going to see him face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I'm also known. You think you're going to get to that place without tearing down strongholds? You reckon he knows what your strongholds are? You reckon he's going to fault you for them or help you tear them down? He's going to help you tear them down. See, that's one of the praying in other tongues, building yourself up. Building yourself up. The real you, the spirit man on the inside of you, maturing you into that image, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, coming back to 1 Corinthians 14, all of these things are mysteries. Most of us don't even know why we keep doing the things that we do that cause us to stumble and fall, you know. We don't know what's wrong with us. That's why in Romans 8, it talks about when we know not what to pray as we ought. Well, you don't even know what's wrong with you. You don't know why you keep doing that, you know. Maybe a psychiatrist will take you back and blame it on your mother. And it doesn't matter, even if it was her fault. Or it doesn't matter who did what to you. That person died in Christ. You can't fix that. Bury that. You're a new person in Christ Jesus. He's not trying to fix the old man. He's trying to mature the new man. I like this. I like this. No wonder he didn't let me know about it before the service. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:2 now. See, if 1 Corinthians 12 is saying, look, okay, Old Testament saints operated like this. This Old Testament saints could operate in the gifts. Let's go a little higher. Let me show you a better way. And we all go, ooh, the love chapter. You read it in the Amplified, it just kills you dead. Takes no account. So somebody comes and smashes your toe with a hammer on purpose because they're mean. And you take no account of it. I didn't get enough laughing. You take no account of it. That means you have no knowledge of it, no record of it. They did not smash my toe with a hammer. Oh my God. You read that and you go, impossible. No. When he was threatened, he did not threaten again. He did not revile. He did not do any of those things. That is possible. So he puts this love there and we all go, oh my God. Here we go looking in the mirror. I'm not like that. But see, there is a part of you that is like that. The seed of Christ is in you. The image is in you. It's there now. The Holy Ghost is trying to build you, that image, up on your most holy faith. On what you've inputted through the Word of God. Part of how he does it is 1 Corinthians 14:2. Now this is that of the four different diversities of tongues, the four different kinds, that he's specifically in this chapter talking about the prayer of edification. This is the one for every believer. This is where you spend, it's at. He put this one under your control. None of the others are. This is that you can pray as often as you want to. Did you know the Holy Ghost is always ready to pray? I've never yet wanted to speak in other tongues and wanted to start and heard the Holy Ghost say, I'm busy right now, you know, wait till CSI is over, and you know, I don't know, whatever. You never hear anything like that. He's always ready to pray. So it's up to you. You can pray as much, as often, however long you want to. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Now, I'm not going to teach at length on this, just so you can know this is not the same tongue as on the day of Pentecost. It's not the same one. Now, they received it. But on the day of Pentecost, they spoke to men in other tongues. Read it for yourself, Acts chapter 2. All these different nationalities had come for this feast. You had Greeks and Romans and Scythians and all kinds of Ithians. There was all these different. And every one of them heard them speaking in tongues in their known language. That was a sign to the unbeliever. See, that's one of the diversities of tongues. But this one, this is that tongue for personal edification. This is your personal prayer life. This is the one that he gave you dominion over. How much of God do you want? How much do you want to be built up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost? It's up to you. But what's happening when I do it, Brother Gary? He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. Now, this one's not like Acts 2. You're not speaking to other men. That's why you don't have to shout it across the room. But unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. And boy, they got it right. A little S. Even in the King James, they got it right. In the Spirit, he speaking mysteries. Now again, right here, I can't pass it up. Dave said it so perfectly. He says, now, we know two things from that verse. When you're speaking in other tongues, number one, you're talking directly to God. Number two, you're speaking mysteries. And right here, Dave always says, how many of you think that while those mysteries are being spoken, how many of you think you are explaining things to God? He killed me dead the first time I ever heard that. But okay, I'm pretty sure that I'm not explaining mysteries to God. So what is going on? He's explaining mysteries to you. You who? You who? The real you, the one that's being built up on your most holy faith. He's one of the things that he's doing. He's like, these mysteries. Why do you call them mysteries? Because the first church doesn't understand what the second church understands, that the third church down on the corner, everybody's got these private interpretations of what they think the word means, and the scriptures plainly tell you the word is not for private interpretation. It only means what it means when it left the heart of God, and the Holy Ghost is the only true teacher of the body of Christ that'll explain that to you if you'll give him time to do it. That's good. Like you said, that's good preaching right there. Glory to God. Mysteries. And it's not just the understanding of God's word. I mean, if that was the only reason, that would be enough. We could go to Romans 8 right now. Yes, sir? He says, why don't you? Okay, we'll go to Romans 8. We may come back there. It's probably too late now if you lost your place. I have no idea where we're going. This is not a pre-planned message. Romans 8:26, of course, is where I'm going. It says, likewise, the Spirit, now that should be capital S, also helps our infirmities. What infirmities? Every weakness of the flesh. Even the parts of us that cause us to see into that mirror darkly, you know? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. What he means is in your mind, you don't know the plan of God when you start this. You don't know what his plan is. Worse than that, you don't even know what your own strongholds are. Do you know most of us do? What's funny is you'll pray and pray, and finally a stronghold will come so strong even you see it. And you go to the people that you love, and you go, I'm not like that, am I? And we all kind of go, well, kind of, yes, we are. But you never could see it till the Holy Ghost brought it up. You know, then you hate it, and that's when he can deal with it. You know? But the Spirit itself, capital S again, makes intercession for us. If we go by that too quick, let's say it 14 different ways. Capital S, let's say it this way. You think you could make it if God himself could pray for you? What do you think? If God prayed it and God answered it, you think you might make it then? When you're praying when you're praying in other tongues, I mean, it says the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit. That's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So here's God the Spirit. He says, step aside, mind. I will give the language to the Spirit man. I already know what the plan of God is. I will allow the Spirit to pray God's plan that he already has for you, so then God the Father can answer it. Excuse me, I got to go pray in tongues. What? The Spirit of God himself? He will make intercession for you? He will pray for you? He does it with groanings which can't be uttered. And all that really means is, I mean, that is talking about intercessory prayer, and sometimes groanings do come. But why can't it be uttered? Well, the very first part, we don't know what to pray as we ought. How can you pray in English, or let's say it, how can you pray in your known language when you don't even know what the problem is? I don't know what to pray. I can't utter it. There is someone who can. His name is God the Holy Ghost. Verse 27, he that searches the hearts, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Dear Lord, you talk about building yourself up on your most holy faith. Not only is he explaining the revelation mysteries of the Word of God so that you can become a steward of the mysteries yourself. That doesn't mean you're necessarily called to be a teacher. You could be anything in the body of Christ, but you need to understand God's Word. Amen? So not only do you come to the place where it builds you up because you're understanding more and more of the revelation of God's Word, But he says he's also making intercession for you according to God's perfect plan for your life. And that's in the context, that's the next verse that most of the world takes that next verse out of context. I remember hearing it all my life. Well, so-and-so was in a car wreck. You know, three children are dead and the parents are crippled for the rest of their life. But you know, God works all things together for good. And in the context, he is not talking about anything like that at all. He's saying, when you allow, I guess I better read the verse, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In the context, what has he been talking about? Praying in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Ghost to make intercession for your life. You don't have to worry that he's praying something bad for you. He is making intercession for you according to the perfect plan of God. And you can rest assured that while you're offering up those prayers in the spirit realm, all things are working together so that you accomplish everything that the Father called you to do. Glory to God. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. I don't know if you kept Jude. I didn't. Let's find it again. It's right near the back. Because the next verse is so important. Jude. Hallelujah. Given to your pages still turn. It's a little book. So let's read verse 20 again. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now notice, as you do that, keep yourselves in the love of God. See, this again goes back. We're not going to turn back there, but 1 Corinthians 13, he says, if I don't have this love, he says, I could have all faith to move mountains. I could understand all mysteries. I could give all my goods away. I could even be burned at the stake, you know. But he says, if I don't have this love, it really profits me nothing. It really profits me nothing. If it's not coming from the heart, from the motive of love, I'm not really sure it's God. See, a lot of people have big ministries because they need the esteem that comes with that. They're feeding an ego system within them. I'm not saying they're not on their way to heaven. You understand that? But a lot of what goes on in the name of ministry is man serving man. Real ministry is allowing God to serve man. You didn't like that, did you? A lot of people won't like that sentence. See, Jesus came as a servant, did he not? What did he do? He girded himself with a towel, and they didn't want him to do it. And he bowed down and washed their feet. God came to... That's what makes Christianity different from all the religions in the world. All the other religions is about what man does for God. But real Christianity is about what God did for man and is doing for man. See, we were hopeless, lost, and undone. Could not save ourselves, still can't. So God did everything for us. And if you want to grow, if you want to mature, he gave you this Holy Ghost. Then he gave us the capacity. He gave us not only his written word, but he gave us the teacher of the word. Again, that's the Spirit of the living God. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Yes, sir. Again, I didn't say it enough yet. 1 Corinthians 13 says, you can do all of those things. But if you don't have this love, see, it abides you nothing. Now, what he's really saying here, while you're building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, one of the things the Holy Ghost also does during that time, he's maturing you into what? What is God? Love. You will stay in the love of God. I think one of the reasons that Pastor Dave is so sweet and nice as he is, you know, again, I'll tell you. Y'all have known Dave a long time. You know you can poke Dave with a stick and nothing but love's going to come out, right? It doesn't matter what day of the week either. You can poke him. See, at this point, you don't want to poke Gary with a stick. You may get love, you may get something else. I'm still conforming to that image, and Dave is way further down the path than I am, you know? But I do know this, if I keep praying in the Holy Ghost is keeping me in the love of God. Dave wasn't born that way. All those hours spent praying in the Holy Ghost has matured that love to a level, keeping him in the love of God and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I just want to exhort you again today. You ought to count. I feel like God's favorite, his most blessed, because I'm here to hear these messages. I thank God for the day that he brought us to the prayer center. I thank God for that day. How much can I tell? I came very close in my youth to attending a seminary. I'm not going to tell you which one. It doesn't matter. But the particular one I would have joined, I would have wound up being a minister somewhere on planet Earth, probably been a pastor or a missionary or something. But I would be out there teaching today had I attended that seminary and believed what they taught me. I would be out there teaching today that miracles has passed away, tongues has passed away, all of the prophecy has passed away. I'd be teaching all of those things. I thank God that and I'm not totally against seminary. Not totally. Better not say anything else. But I highly prefer the seminary of the Holy Ghost. Man, I had to already, even at just as a truck driver driving those trucks, when I heard this message, made that decision that if I'm stuck in the cab of that truck anyway, I'm just going to make it my prayer closet. God, I remember those first months, how the Holy Ghost lined. See, if what you believe is wrong, he has to unteach you the same way that he teaches you. And it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. That's exactly what began to happen. Exactly. Things that I had believed my whole life. Just all I'm doing is praying in other tongues. I mean, I'm driving the... I did have a lot of word in me. Sue can tell you, I had been a good student for years. I had a lot of word in me. So there was the foundation of the word was in there for him to work with. But man, I remember those months. Little by little, he did not try and overwhelm me, but little by little by little, he just began unraveling all that false doctrine. Just unraveling it. And see, you got to let it go. It doesn't matter if your daddy believed it and his daddy believed it and his daddy believed it. If it's not truth, let it go. I don't care if you've preached it. Sue knows a lot of the stuff that come unraveled, I had preached. I thank God again there's no cassette tapes of me in the 80s. I was just a parrot. I was only teaching what I'd been taught by the TV preachers. Pray your own self. Get in the Word for yourself. Don't trust your mind. I'll tell you right now, I do not trust my mind to understand God's Word. And I'm proud of that statement. I'm proud because God gave me a better teacher than me. God gave me a better teacher than Dave. And I love Dave. You know, I appreciate everything. And I let Mark and Alan and everybody who ministers, Tim, on and on. But God gave me a better teacher. His name is the Holy Ghost. And if I finish up my life in error, it's not God's fault. Not when I've been given his word and the teacher of his word. God the Holy Ghost. I need to pray myself, building myself up on my most holy faith. Perfect wording. Praying in the Holy Ghost. It will also keep me in the love of God. Amen? All right. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you and praise you, Lord. God, you've been so good to us. You're still so good to us. Father, we thank you for the rain we received today in Oklahoma. Lord, that's Father, we thank you for the spiritual rain, not necessarily coming down from heaven, but coming by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Father, to bless a lost world. Father, we just love you and thank you. Father, the last thing the world needs is more religion. Father, I'm praying for myself and everybody in the sound of my voice. Father, deliver us from religion. Bring us into understanding the family of God. Bring us into really knowing you. Jesus said eternal life was not to know about you, Father, but to know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent, Father. Deliver us from religion. Bring us into that fullness of life. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.